Hey, so Giving Tuesday is coming up. Do you have plans for that? I actually have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Giving Tuesday. I actually tend to avoid it because I feel like it's one of those things where everyone's hopping on this bandwagon and it's just a lot of noise that day. So I decided to invite someone to the podcast to prove me wrong. This is your host, Cindy Wagman, and you're tuning in to the Small Nonprofit Podcast, where we bring you practical, down-to-earth advice on how you can do more for your small nonprofit. You're going to change the world, and we're here to help. So, who is this guest today? I have Liz Huggison joining me from Canada Helps, who is also responsible for running Giving Tuesday Canada. Now, Liz spent much of her career in the business world, but then moved over to the Give3 Foundation, which was one of the founding partners of Giving Tuesday in Canada. And now, of course, at Canada Helps, she is involved in running the Giving Tuesday program as well. So, join me in this amazing conversation. I don't want to give anything away about where I ended up, so I'll just let you tune in and you will hear about Giving Tuesday, what it is, why you should consider participating, and if you do, how you can really make the most of it. Join me in welcoming Liz to the podcast. Welcome.
Thanks, Cindy.
I'm so excited to have this conversation. As you know, I've been dragging my feet around Giving Tuesday, and I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why is it always felt really crowded, and I've always been concerned that for small organizations, their ask just gets buried with other asks. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's take a step back and tell our listeners, what is Giving Tuesday? Why should we be thinking about it? And then we'll get into some how to make the best out of it. So let's start there.
Sounds great. So basically, my job today is to bring you, convince you, and convince everybody who's listening that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yay.
No problem. but seriously, I think you'll hear from me over the next few minutes as we talk that I find it really, really inspiring and exciting. And I recognize that small nonprofits are just, you know, completely overwhelmed. They're over their heads and it's really tough to add something to your to-do list. So like, I just want to say that up front, I get it. But I do think it's worth it. So yeah. All right. So what is it? So the idea is really simple. It's a day to inspire generosity, a day for people to give back in whatever ways they can. Keep it simple, you know, acts of kindness, volunteering, getting active on social media to, you know, shed some light on an organization that you care a lot about. And obviously, for people that can access that, it also includes donations. And if you're already a, you know, big donor, maybe it's, or a frequent donor, maybe it's something like, you know, going to monthly donations for your favorite cause or something like that. So, you know, the idea has caught on, I think, so much because it's accessible to anybody. You know, if you don't have money, you can still do this. If you have 20 causes you care about, or you're just discovering, you know, what you're interested in as a cause, or what you want to support, you know, it's completely open-ended and inclusive, and everybody can get involved. So that's awesome. Something people, a lot of people don't know in Canada actually, is that Giving Tuesday is global. So Canada was the second country. It started in the US, and wow. That was, we're our ninth year now. So it started in the US, and then some people, organizations in Canada looked at this and went, wow, like that would be one US import that we really should have. yeah. And so some of us got together and, you know, started a website and said, hey, let's, you know, let's get excited. Let's do this. And in that first year, I think we said, if we had 100 organizations doing something, like maybe some of them could be businesses and some of them could be charities and nonprofits and community groups or whatever, let's just see if we can get 100. And there were, that year, there were 1,200 that registered on the website, and even more that, like, even now we don't have any idea how many people are involved, because how many organizations, because there's so many activities that we never hear about. Anyway, I think, as I was saying, the idea really caught on because it's so accessible. And of course, charities and nonprofits are always looking for, you know, a new kind of angle. And I think what they loved about it was that they could approach this anyway. And we'll talk, you know, a little bit later about different ideas for how to engage. Like, it's not always about fundraising. So that's kind of maybe one of the number one, not myths, but sort of misrepresentations of Giving Tuesday. It's about giving in any ways. So if you're a fundraiser, of course, use it to fundraise. But you can also thank your volunteers. Like, there's 100 different ways that you can celebrate generosity without actually making an ask.
Mm, I love that. And I definitely, I've heard some of the stories I have heard from organizations is that they use it as a day of gratitude. Talk a little bit about that. And in fact, so let's dive into some of the nitty gritty. Like, we know what the day is. It is a global movement.
Can I tell you a bit more about that? Because that's, I find that part super inspiring. So Canada was the second country, and then it kind of snowballed around the globe. And they started to realize, oh, we kind of like need to name like official leaders. So now there's like an official kind of leading group in more than 73 countries.
Wow.
And that's like pretty much every major country in the world. And then looking on social media, like when they actually look around the sort of few days before and few days after, there's activity going on in every single country and territory in the world, which is, I find really, really neat.
Yeah.
And I think what it is that people feel united by this because it crosses cultures and religions and language barriers. And it just speaks to the common human value of, I want to care about my fellow man, my fellow person,
human.
My fellow human. Yeah. And so it really speaks to people at that kind of visceral level, like, wow, this is something that actually feels good. And that's why I think it's kind of really grown so well around the globe.
Yeah. And as like a fundraiser, hearing you say that, you know, so often we forget that people feel good giving. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really nice reminder that people actually, there's a communal experience and in fact, like a global experience of participating and feeling so meaningful and good when you do give in whatever capacity you have. So I think that that's
true.
A good reminder.
I want to just also connect that. I'm sure you're probably going to ask me about the pandemic and this environment for fundraising, which is so tough, right? But because of the pandemic, people have really had so much of their power taken away in so many different ways, and lots of other stuff going on around the world, obviously, aside from the pandemic, that this past year or two has been, you know, incredibly challenging. But individuals have the power to get involved and be generous. Mm-hmm. And it's a way that they can take action and feel good even when times are really crappy.
Yeah. And the world is falling around us. We can still help another human being or an organization we care about. I love that. Yeah. And in fact, that's been a lot of my experience in working with organizations throughout COVID. The ones who keep asking are seeing their community step up for them. So I know.
So true.
Yeah. A lot of other organizations have different experiences, but there's something about that human spirit and feeling connected and caring and supporting each other that I think sounds like this day really taps into. So there, I'm debating in my head if we should get into the nuts and bolts, or I want, or if you want to do a little myth busting, like maybe we should start with that, because there are things that I'm sure you've heard people like me who are like, well, aren't we just, you know, capturing those donations a little earlier than they would typically come during the year? Or, you know, I'm sure there's lots of things that you've heard. So let's debunk some of that. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Sure. Okay. So, yeah, that question about displacing donations. So that has been shown to be wrong across many giving platforms, mostly online. There might be a different dynamic with offline giving. I'm not sure. But with online, you can really measure it. And so at Canada Helps, we did this, and I've seen reports from many others. And one of the other cool things about Giving Tuesday is that all these platforms are kind of working together. So there's this thing called the Giving Tuesday Data Collaborative. And it started in the US, and now it's operating in Canada and many, many countries, where, you know, basically it's people, organizations that are in a position to provide data are getting together and sharing it for once, and able to do some, there's, you know, data scientists are able to actually look at it and do some analysis. So yeah, organizations that get involved on Giving Tuesday tend to do better than those that don't. That's kind of a bit more obvious. Mm-hmm. But then they tend to do better for the rest of the season as well. So there's a couple of things I think going on. One is they're setting goals and creating campaigns and getting them going earlier. And this doesn't mean like you have to have a GT campaign and then you have to have your year-end campaign. You can do that one campaign and have it last a month. Or you can, if like a lot of the United Ways are doing their campaigns much earlier and they're kind of culminating on Giving Tuesday and then, you know, making their announcement kind of thing. So I think one of the biggest myths is that Giving Tuesday is just a day. Mm. It's more than just a day. It's, you know, the best campaigns, a lot of them start well before, or they start with teasers and then they launch on Giving Tuesday. And who ever said that it ends after the 24-hour period? Like, it doesn't. So those campaigns can go on till the end of the month. And so if you start your campaign earlier, you have way more chances to engage with your audience. So you're maybe not just doing, you know, one email and then hoping that you make your goal for the season. You can do a teaser, you can do a day of, you can do a thank you on the following day and say, but we didn't quite meet our goal. Or you can say, we beat our goal, but we have 3 more weeks or 4 more weeks to double our, you know. So there's so many different ways. And then you can layer in, you know, things like, we're also looking for volunteers, or why don't you come by and visit us, because we, you know, harder in the pandemic, but maybe you have an opportunity to do an open house or do a letter writing campaign, or, you know. So one of the things we've learned is by talking to donors and everyday Canadians through research is that they love to be involved on multiple levels. So it's not just the giving transaction that gets their heart. It's not even going to really get their heart. Sure, it might make them feel pretty good, but it's engaging with the organization, helping in more than just monetary ways.
Mm, that's so interesting.
I got off on a track there. Sorry.
Well, I want to get into some of the nuts and bolts, because there are definitely a few things I want to ask about. But before we do, any other big myths that you want to dispel? Like anything that you hear over and over again, I'm not going to, maybe makes you roll your eyes or something like that, that you're just like, please stop perpetuating that. It's wrong.
A couple. I mean, so we hear a lot about donor fatigue. And
I don't believe in donor fatigue personally,
okay.
But yeah.
Okay, great.
I hear it too, all the time.
I don't think that donors are fatigued necessarily, but they're definitely tired of hearing the same old message. So if you're an organization that wants to send out an email on Giving Tuesday, it's probably a good idea to have something to say other than it's Giving Tuesday. Please give to us. You know, like it's a good idea to come up with something, a bit of an angle. Yeah. And we'll talk about what those angles can be. So other myths, I mean, so another myth is, I think I already touched on this, it's not just one day. So there is something called Giving Every Tuesday. And if you go follow the Giving Tuesday channels, you'll see there's like a generosity calendar for every month. Every single day of the year has a generosity idea. Every Tuesday has a Giving Every Tuesday call to action. And organizations can engage and do engage, like pick up on these and use them to your own benefit. If you're not yet into social media, it can be a great way to get started because Giving Tuesday hashtags tend to, like, there's a pretty big audience. And if you're using that to, you know, to send your own message, then it gives you a broader reach.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And I guess the other sort of myth, like you said, you don't believe in donor fatigue. And we touched on that. But it's basically this concept that you can only ask one time. Or maybe two, and that's it. Because so I know that a lot of organizations have had a lot of trouble with getting money in the door in the past year. And a lot of that is, you know, if they weren't able to be online or they weren't able to have events, and that's super tough. We know obviously the demands on your services are going up, not down. But you have to ask in order to get the money. And people want to help right now. We also already talked about this. So if people want to help, but you don't ask, then yeah.
They don't know. Yeah,
they don't know. And I mean, I think the other cool thing, I'm always coming up with cool things about Giving Tuesday, is that people kind of expect it to be a bit different. So you can try something different and maybe it'll fail, but you can get creative. You know, and so I think you're going to give me a chance to mention a few campaigns, but
yeah,
you know, like
dive into that. Let's go.
An organization that asked their donors to write letters of hope. It was a cancer, wellness center in Calgary. And they asked donors to write letters and they got a lot. And then they were able to make some social media around those, like taking snippets out of them and inspirational ideas that came out of them. And then if you're doing social media with a great, like this, look at this touching letter, you put a little donation link, those things, you're not asking directly. Maybe you've already made two asks and you don't want to, but that little donation link can drive surprisingly. Yeah. So that's an example.
I love that example. Let's talk about some of them. I want to start, and I think that's actually a really good example of the question I have. So maybe you have some more, because you mentioned earlier, you know, come out with different messaging. People are not going to give just because it's Giving Tuesday. You want to invite them into something. And I'm just going to, as a side, I see that a lot with year-end campaigns, not calendar year end, but if your fiscal year end is April and you're asking people to give because it's your fiscal year end, that's not compelling. It's the same thing. Giving Tuesday in and of itself is a call to action, but this shouldn't be the be all and end all of calls to action. So what are some interesting, you gave the example of one call to action or one campaign being about send us messages of hope. What are some other really exciting ones that you've seen done really well?
Okay, well, I actually don't think matching is exciting, but matching is really effective. So yes. it's a huge one on Giving Tuesday. And so if you're a small organization, you're probably thinking, oh my God, I don't have time to go and find a company or a brand or but a lot of small organizations have a couple of key donors that you're close to. So you can approach one of those people or multiple and say, would you be willing to, you know, put up a match or to let us use, you know, if you're planning on giving us a gift this year, would you let us use it as a match and we can, you know, generate two or three times the impact. So we've seen that all over, and it's really, really effective.
And to your point, I just want to add to that, because very often, again, going back to the myths around donor fatigue and not wanting to impose on asking that donor for a match, donors love to be on the ask side of, like, what they love to be a part of the broader base of donors who are like, oh yeah, my gift will be matched. But your higher level donors or donors that you're really close with, they actually love to see their gifts leveraged to help your organization even more. So there's a lot of value, not just to the people, like the that group of people you're asking for money, but also the person who's giving you the match. You deepen the relationship. It's really awesome. So that's a great example. Yeah.
So we see a lot of those, and you know, I could name a few, but they're like, one of my favorites is a food bank in Nova Scotia called Feed Nova Scotia, and they've been working with Sobeys for years, and Sobeys puts up a match, and it's not like a huge match, but it's a decent one, and they really execute well. Like, they've got great social media with these adorable visuals of twins, like twin kids or twin animals or whatever, and it's like, you know, every $1 equals two, and they've like consistently just blown their objectives every year out of the water. And like last year, I believe they raised $580,000 during that match period, which is, you know, pretty impressive.
Yeah,
that's a maybe not a tiny organization. It's a pretty big organization now, but it's, you know, they're grassroots organizations suffering through the pandemic, doing their best and doing great. So we love seeing matching campaigns, and for donors, like, there's research out of the UK, and I'm probably going to get the number wrong, but I think there's like a almost double the money raised when you put out an ask that has a match. So it really is, as you've already said, very motivating for donors.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, it gives you some news. So you can say, and it gives a bit of a sense of urgency. So that's an important thing in fundraising ask. Everybody already knows that. I'm not teaching you anything, but, you know, if you can say it's just this week, or it's just this 24 hours, or it ends on December 31st, whatever your match is going to allow, that's compelling, and it gets people to do their do their transaction right away.
And I love that example too, because it's creative. Like, there's the images they use sound like they're pretty creative and not different than just saying like, we'll match your donation, like using some visual cues for that. I think, I mean, these days with things like Canva, it's so easy to create materials that look a little bit more interesting than what we used to be able to do.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. But also, just as an aside, if for small nonprofits and anybody actually, if you want to go to the Giving Tuesday website, givingtuesday.ca, they're about to be updated. So I'm embarrassed to say, if you go, you'll see last year's dates, but coming soon.
Well, by the time soon, this airs, they might be live.
They should.
So there you go.
So anyway, all the resources are free. People can go on and just grab images, grab logos. Oh, that's another important thing for people to know. So it's totally free. Nothing costs, like everything on about Giving Tuesday is free. If somebody's trying to charge you for something, ask them questions.
Walk away.
Yeah. But the other thing people don't realize is you can grab the logo, and if your colors are orange, turn it orange or purple, or, you know, like, grab it. It's not you won't even see a trademark anymore. Like, there used to be kind of a, you know, we didn't want people abusing it, but I've never seen it abused in all the years that we've been doing this. And it's, you know, take it, make it yours, work with whatever materials to make it super personal to your organization. And the website, givingtuesday.ca, has a lot of those things that you can go grab.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to go back to the idea of it not being just a day. Really, it's a movement, not a day. And so, can you share some examples of organizations that have really leveraged, again, like a small organization that has said, we're going to culminate in Giving Tuesday, or we're going to kick off something with Giving Tuesday, and you know how that they've been able to take that one day as a starting point to build out something a little bit bigger?
That's a great question. So, I mean, I would say we're early days on that. I think a lot of organizations are picking up the Giving Every Tuesday stuff and, you know, retweeting or reposting or whatever, which is great. But this message that it's more than just a day is still fairly young. And it's evolved to, like, I think anybody who remembers the first few years of Giving Tuesday, we talked a lot about Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Even though Black Friday, Cyber Monday wasn't that huge a thing in Canada, but it became like it was just the right timing. And everybody, they really got that there were these two shopping days and consumerism. And then there was this day where you could turn it all around and start thinking about generosity and thinking about the community. And so where was I going with that, Cindy?
I don't know, but that's so interesting because I don't think a lot of people know that that's the origin. Like when I talk about Giving Tuesday, people don't realize that it in some ways was sort of like a counterbalance to the spending of Black Friday and eventually Cyber Monday, but the coming out of this consumerism.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think people know that very often.
Okay, well then that's good that we're talking about it. So yeah. it was the sort of genesis of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like we used to call it the antidote to consumerism. But I think because it's more year round now, and because it's kind of all of the month of December, it's more important that people understand the basic concept of it's a really simple call to action to create a day or a movement where any forms of generosity are celebrated. Mm. No act of generosity is too small. Everybody can help in some way. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something to give.
Yeah. I'm a huge believer in that. I've seen, and you mentioned earlier, some organizations using it as a day to think. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about that, because I think ultimately that does result in donations as well. But maybe you have some examples around what that looks like for organizations and how they can really make it special for their supporters.
100%. Yeah. So, I mean, and this is something we actually put right in our toolkits because, you know, and particularly small organizations often will say to us, we just can't really make another ask. So thanking is a really great way to do that. So we've seen really creative, visually creative ways of doing this. And it doesn't have to be a huge time consumer, but, you know, people holding up big letters that spell out thank you, or a video of, you know, it's often the ED, or it could be the staff, or, you know, just one or two key people in the organization saying how important this donor community or volunteer community or whatever has been to their organization and how thankful they are for the year that's just coming to an end. And I personally received a couple of phone calls these past few years from I didn't ask maybe they were staff, but they were phone calls from the organization saying, listen, we just want you to know that your monthly donation is really important to us and we really appreciate it. And I find that so motivating. I go and increase the monthly donate. Like, it's not huge, right? But it's, yeah, most people can afford $25 a month if they're skipping the Starbucks. So when I started getting those calls, I increased my donation because I felt that it was worth it. Another really creative thing that I've seen is organizations that get their board members involved.
Mm.
So board members can be really, really helpful. And they, you know, not all board members want to be super involved in on the ground, but if you give them something really simple to do, like, could you make 2 phone calls to major donors? Could you call these donors or maybe go meet them for a coffee and just let them know why you care, why you're on the board of this organization, and how important it is that that what they're doing to help the organization, and connect it to what's going on now in the world. Like, we're in a serious situation here. Mm. So for an organization to be able to say, listen, you really helped us, we've still got our doors open, and we might not have been in this position if it weren't for you, so thank you. Mm. So I love seeing that.
Yeah.
And board members can also you know, like, this is sensitive. Not all organizations want to ask the board members to get involved with fundraising, but they can be really well connected, right? So, or you can go to your board members to help you with matching too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you get the board to eat, like, even if each board member kicks in $500, yeah, you can raise a pretty good match.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen organizations do matches with $500, right? Especially small organizations. We always think, when we see with a big organization, it's $10,000 or whatever, sometimes a lot more than that. It doesn't have to be that much, right? Like, especially if this is your first Giving Tuesday, you know, a match of $500 might feel really ambitious, and you might need to go to 5 of your board members and ask them to mm-hmm. give $100 each. And that's okay. We can mm-hmm. scale this kind of a program to the size of your organization. And I think, to me, that's one of the things that I've really, well, it's like a pet soapbox I'm going to stand on all the time. Like, there's a way, there's not always a way to do things. It doesn't always translate from big to small, but this is, because the nature of it as a movement, I do actually think that you can scale down and just start where you are. If you've never done an ask, maybe your goal is to raise $100, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're doing that, if you're really at the beginning sort of your fundraising game, then one tip is to just really make sure that you've got your online form ready. And no matter what whether it's email or you're posting something on social media, make sure that people can click and get to a donation form really, really easily with very few clicks. Mm-hmm. So it's just a little side tip.
Yes. That is such a good one, because a lot of organizations are still struggling with their systems and they don't have, so just to start now, get those online donation forms set up and make sure you're linking it, like, in your social media for the day, and really mm-hmm. look at this taking over your whole digital presence for the period of your campaign, for sure. Mm-hmm. We're running out of time, which I feel like we could talk so much more.
We could. You mentioned social media. Can I say a couple things?
Yes,
there?
Let's wrap up with that.
Okay. Oh, wrap up. Oh my goodness. Okay. We've seen so many really creative stuff, so much creative stuff on social media, but you mentioned, make sure that no matter what you're posting, it's a great idea to have a link to your donation form right there. One of the easiest and most compelling social media things that is associated with Giving Tuesday is something called Unselfie. So it's hashtag Unselfie. It's self-explanatory. Obviously, it's the opposite of a selfie. And now with mask wearing, it's even easier. But the idea is just to post, either you're not even in the picture or your face is covered or whatever, and you're just the person who's posting is either promoting the cause they care about, the organization they care about, the fact that they've just donated, the fact that they're a volunteer, the fact that there's a cute puppy being looked after, whatever, post anything, hashtag Unselfie. And if you're, so a small organization that's kind of looking for something that's not a direct fundraising ask 10 donors if they would be willing to post Unselfies on your behalf. And give them a little link to your donation form that they could post with it. And just say, you know, like, so, and you can even give them the text. You can say, like, this organization is trying to send 10 kids to summer camp. And that's why I love them. And they post the unselfie, they use the hashtag, it goes into the big cyber hashtag unselfie realm, and you never know where that's going to get picked up. So I love that one.
I love that. That is actually really, really creative. So we are out of time, but I want you to share. So obviously there are tons of resources available online at givingtuesday.ca, or if you're not in Canada, which some of our listeners are not, just Google Giving Tuesday, you'll find your local one. But I always love being inspired by other organizations and what they're doing. So if there's any organization where we should watch their Giving Tuesday campaign to be inspired, who's done it really well in the past?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, and I also want to say, smaller organizations do not get overwhelmed on Giving Tuesday. I don't have the data in front of me, but I saw data recently that showed that smaller organizations got more than their fair share of attention and donations on Giving Tuesday. So don't lose hope that you're going to get overwhelmed. I also want to address that you asked this at the very beginning, Cindy, you know, because it is a busy day and there's a lot of noise. So you've tended to say, well, why don't you just do your, you know, focus on another time. Would you say that to a retailer? Would you say to a retailer, don't do a Black Friday sale? It'll just get lost amid all the other sales. Or, I mean, year end is busy too, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's asking at year end. So would you say to an organization, don't fundraise at year end because it's too busy a time? No, people are primed to give.
Yes.
52% of people say that they want to give on Giving Tuesday itself because they're part of something bigger. So
that's a mic drop moment.
People that are doing it really well, Feed Nova Scotia, I already talked about them. Mm-hmm. There was a campaign by Canadian Feed the Children just last year. Again, it was matching. And they had an email series that was really powerful. I don't know how much social media presence. I don't know how visible they would be to people that are not their donors or not the public. So many small organizations, like that letter writing campaign that I mentioned, the sort of feed the goats campaigns, or trying to gather, 500 pairs of socks to give out in the community, and like tripling that level of donations just for socks. Donors love to hear about something specific, like the number of kids that are going to go to camp, or how many pairs of socks or how many, hygiene kits. I see them. I can't name any more off the top of my head, but
that's awesome.
Time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Liz, thank you so much for being part of this conversation. Now you've
thank
added
you,
to my
Cindy.
Workload, because now we're going to go and do this with all of our clients, but you've convinced me to give it a shot. And I think the diversity of messaging to me really was a big A, and your piece about Black Friday and you don't stop doing something just because other people are doing it. That's really helpful. And this is such an incredible movement that you've been able to take a leadership role in for so long. So thanks for doing that for all of us.
Thank you, Cindy. Good luck to everybody. It's going to be a great one.
It's going to be good. Yeah.
Did you know that $36 million was raised online in 24 hours last year?
I did not.
$36 million. And that's understated because it was only the reporting platforms. But it's a lot of money. And $11 million of that was on Canada Helps. If anybody, I do work for Canada Helps. If anybody needs help with getting their online digital presence moving, reach out to Canada Helps, and we have an army of people that can help you get set up in no time with free online forms. So
yes, and start now because it's coming up soon. Yeah.
And also, if you're tempted and you haven't done so, register to become a partner on givingtuesday.ca.
Amazing. Thank
you
so much.
In the community.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent. And thank you to our listeners for all the work you do. This is a great opportunity to mobilize people in support of it. So join me this year in participating in Giving Tuesday. We'll see you next week. Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.